This is a HeadGum Podcast.
If I were you, Amir and Jay, the masters of advice. The only podcast for advice that's hosted.
Very, very nice.
A little macabre.
Soothing. I loved that.
Whoa, my mom's here.
Hey, guys. Hello.
Hola, mama.
How are you?
Hola, mamito.
Nice. Thank you. What does that mean?
It's like hola, jovito, but I said hola, mamito.
Did you know that Jake was bilingual?
You know, languages were never his strong suit.
Yeah.
Sorry,
what is that supposed to mean?
What means
pretty
that?
Well on the English SAT.
And that's
the verbal
monolingual.
SAT,
I mean, that's your language. You're not, yeah.
Languages were never my strong suit?
Yeah, foreign languages.
Oh, all right.
I'll qualify
well,
it.
Yes.
What did you get on your verbal SATs? Do you remember?
I actually do.
What Jake got?
Oh, what Jake got? Yeah, I do. I do. Can I say it
at the same time if you remember?
690.
Wow.
I thought it was 640.
No, it was 690. It was 690. You got 640 on your math.
Did I?
Yes, you did.
All right.
That's actually, you did better than me on verbal.
We should check the record. I don't know if it was 690.
You don't even want to take credit for it.
What did you get?
I got 640.
And what did you get on your math?
800, of course.
Yeah, I was going to say.
You got 800
guess.
Math?
Yeah, I've got 800 math.
I don't think I feel like I got like 200 math.
You know, you got 200 for writing.
You know,
your name.
It was another test for like, it was a, I don't know, it was some other, it was like a midterm math test where I wasn't a great math student, but I forgot my TI-83 calculator and they wouldn't let me go back out to my car to get it.
Wow.
So I had to take this math test without my a midterm without my calculator, and I got and it brought me down to a D in the class. And it was like senior
Do you remember
year,
that?
So I didn't get into a couple colleges.
Because
I was taking like a low level math class and I got a D.
It sounds like you're making up the excuse right now to me. You're like, and then they wouldn't let me get the calculator, so I got a D. So that's why
Mr. Rich hates me, Mom. The teachers all hate you.
Yeah, all the teachers hate me specifically.
But they did not let me go out to the car to get the TI-83.
I just don't understand that kind of desire to see people fail.
I think because I was a bad student. And yeah. They thought that you know, what does he really have in his car?
You're taking the teacher's side.
I mean, I didn't do very much to earn their trust.
Also, like, if you're a bad student and, like, you give the teacher an opening, he just fucking loved the fact, like, oh, sorry, I don't think you can go to your car. Imagine like an asshole tempting you and poking you for 8 months and like, can you do me a favor? You're like, you know, no, I don't think I can do you the favor.
Yeah, teachers are people too, and they're petty and small just like me. I haven't forgotten it to this day. I bet those teachers also haven't forgotten. Remember, if we wouldn't let that little bitch Hurwitz onto his car,
the principal high-fiving him.
Well, I was a teacher, and I can tell you that we do that.
Oh, really?
You are exactly right.
So if there's a troublemaker that needs a favor, you're like, oh, I'm afraid I can't answer that question.
I don't think so. I
can bend the rules for you.
Some teachers do, but then you reach the saturation point, you just burn out, and then you just, you know, you're hardened.
Yeah. You know what came up a lot in my high school? Or not a lot, but I seem to remember this as a specific thing. Like, during a test, you can't ask any questions, you know?
Yeah.
And then there's like a vaguely worded question and it's like, I don't even know what this said. Like, I'm not asking you how to answer it, but I don't know what you mean by like what's asking. And she's like, I don't know. Yeah, I'm sorry. I can't tell you anything. But then if like a bunch of people came up and like I also don't understand like the language used in this, then she'll be like, all right, fine. I'll specify. I'll explain this one thing. But other than that, I really can't answer any questions. Is that a thing that they teach you as a teacher? Don't answer any questions during the test.
Yeah, they tell you not to answer questions during the test. But I guess if there's like a mass of people coming up and not understanding something that you did,
yeah,
you have a, really an obligation right. to clarify.
If it's one yeah. student that's like, no, sorry, everyone else gets it. And then it's like 10 students are like, all right, I fucked up. Here's what I meant by that.
That's it. That's it. And usually if it's one student, it's that one same student who's always going to ask you that stuff.
Right.
Or like you say, I'll see you in class tomorrow. And they say, tomorrow's Saturday. It's that kid, you know?
Tomorrow. That's a good one. I should say that. I know you should say, that's right, I'll see you tomorrow, Saturday.
For detention.
detention. Close little up of your bit. Stinky mouth. Not yours, but a teacher's stinky mouth. That theme song that we played was sent to us in September of 2013.
Whoa, blast from the past.
I just found old theme songs that I had never searched for in the Gmail.
Oh,
so
man.
That's 2.5 years ago. And they said, our band is called Dead Relatives. We're from Louisiana. Let me know if you guys want this message. And then last week, 2.5 years after that, I wrote them back. I was like, hey, I just searched through old emails and I found this one. I hope it's not too late. And he said, no, of course not. Slight change. Our band is no longer called Dead Relatives because my grandma wasn't a fan of it.
Makes sense.
Their band is called, yeah, my relatives didn't like it. Sweet Nanas now. No, it's called Cane Breakers. C-A-N-E.
Still sort of aggressive towards old people.
Yeah.
It is a little.
Oh, you don't like it? How about Cane Breakers, Grandma?
Ow. I bruised my knee against your metal cane.
And they have a Facebook and a website called canebreakers.com and a new album in the works. So it's
I was checking that out. I liked that song a lot.
Loved it. It was a little bit sort of like Guster or Ben Folds Five, you know, that kind of like gentle
Josh
like,
Radin.
Yeah. It was like
really
very minor key, sort of like gloomy a little bit.
I liked it a lot.
Really liked it.
Thanks for coming on our show again.
Oh, thank you for asking
me. Is this your second
me.
Or third time?
It's the third time. Third time.
Gosh. This puts you in the Hall of Fame. Not a lot of three-time guests on our program.
Just only the best for you, Mom.
I love you. I mean,
I love you so much. I'm going to cry.
Oh, why?
I love you so much.
Why are you crying?
You're the best.
You guys have such an incredible setup here.
Oh, yeah,
I'm like
first time
so impressed.
Here.
I do, or both of us?
Yeah, I mean, you
who,
guys.
Who does? Both of us
both
or me?
Both of you have an incredible... I mean,
but
this
I'm
is,
your son.
What does it matter? She's complimenting both of us. Oh, yes. Not everything has to be tilted in your favor.
I think coming from my mom. Kind of it does, yeah.
No, this my little is... lady.
Well, since this is your third time on the show, you're a pro. But just
I'm
in case,
a pro. I know how it works. Yeah.
Just in case there's any first-time listeners, this will be some people's first time listening to this podcast. Because, like, invariably, like, one of our fans will be like, you got to listen to the show. And then somebody finally caves and says, all right, I'll try it. I'll test it out. I listened to the one with Jake and his mom. Yeah. Was that really his mom?
Let's say welcome to those newcomers.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's an advice podcast that you're listening to. It's called If I Were You Show. It's the only advice podcast on the internet hosted by me and Jake. And then sometimes it's just us two, and sometimes we have guests.
Jake's mom.
Yeah, and sometimes that guest is Jake's mom. So we're going to be reading real emails.
Mwah, mwah, mwah. Love you.
Okay.
Kisses. I love my mother. Do you have a problem with that? I love
no.
my mother is very important to me.
Why are you mad?
Is that an issue?
It's a little bit. The only issue
kisses
is
to you. Love you, mommy. Excuse me. Do you have something to say about the way I display my affection for my mother?
It's a little loud during the show, like we're getting kissing noises.
I'm sorry about that.
What?
I'm sorry about that. I didn't realize that would be a problem.
Got it.
I won't do that again.
Cool. So these are real...
Hugs to mommy.
What's that?
Hugs to mommy. No kissy noise.
Got
no
it.
No kissing noises, yeah.
Hug, hug, hug.
Okay.
I love you so very much.
All right.
She's near and dear to me.
Why don't we spend 30 seconds, you say everything you need to say about your mother.
I don't need to say anything else. I don't need to say anything else.
All right, so you're done.
Yeah, I don't need to say a word. I will show it.
So,
bye.
So just show it now. Show it.
Holding my hand.
I am sitting on my mother's lap while we record this.
We're sharing a microphone and a ham sandwich. So, well, as I was saying, these are real emails from real people that we received. If you have your own questions, you can send it to ifireushow@gmail.com. We're going to give these people fake names, you know, just to preserve their anonymity.
Of course.
And Laura, why don't you give us our first fake name?
Okay, I'm going to have to
It's a lady.
Okay. I'm trying to think what I've been watching recently that has had a lady in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry, I'm blanking. I'm totally blanking.
That is another instance of the male-dominated Hollywood model.
All right, okay. All right, cool. You're right, you're right. I'm going to think back to the movies that are nominated for Oscars and how few women there are in them.
Thank you. Oscar's so gay. A guy.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so it's guy. True. So guy.
All and white guy.
One female who's nominated is Brie Larson, so we'll go with Brie.
Brie How's Larson that? Writes, so yeah, I dated this guy, and after a month of dating, he told me he wasn't, and after a month of dating, he told me he was going to join the Mormon church. After that, we dated for 3 years. We broke up last April because he was leaving for a 2-year mission in South America. I was completely supportive of his religion throughout the relationship, even though I'm agnostic. I still email him while he's on his mission and consider him to be a good friend. The problem is his mother. She and I were very close during the relationship, and since I broke up with her son, she still expects things to be the same. She recently told me she cried because she thought that I didn't want to be friends with her anymore. I still want to keep in contact with my ex, but I don't think we'll ever get back together because of our massive religious differences. She buys me gifts all the time and gets upset if I don't see her when I'm in town. How do I tell this incredibly nice mother that I can't be friends with her anymore? Thanks. Love, Brie Larson.
Wow. I think that's really unusual because usually Mormon mothers would want their kids, I would think, to marry.
Yeah, you think she'd be like
faith,
thrilled.
Don't you think?
Right. Yeah.
Like, after 3 years, the mother just must have gotten attached, but.
Yeah. I guess, but usually that's a big thing, I would think, in a religious, especially if you've got a kid who's on a mission.
Yeah.
You know?
That's a like, big one. That's a full dedicating 2 years of his life thing.
Yeah.
But you have 6 children, so you've had your fair share of significant others come and go.
I have, and Jake can
My mom's
tell
probably
you
pretty
this.
Close to this lady's mom, actually.
My
mom's kept in touch with one too many of my exes.
I have. I get very attached. I genuinely like
In high school, there were times that I had to leave the house because my ex-girlfriend was coming over to dinner.
Right, that did happen. We took an ex-girlfriend on a vacation.
What?
Yeah, it was awkward.
Of course. What is that?
I think we'd already that one I was complicit in too. We'd already bought the tickets.
And after you broke up, you're like, why don't you still go on vacation?
It would have been less expensive to have her not come because like we would have lost money on the ticket, but not on any of the meals or anything.
This is what your dad said as he was sitting you down.
Yeah. As he was talking to my ex.
It's just that. Consider that a sunk cost. Do you understand that, sweetheart?
Jake got a 300 on his math SAT.
but I'm pretty bright when it comes to this stuff. And if you'll see this figure, it's how much I'll waste on you. I can't believe you brought an ex-girlfriend. Like, it's a big deal to bring an actual girlfriend on a family vacation, let alone an ex.
We tend to get close to people pretty quickly, I think. And this girlfriend, I really liked her. She was like a daughter.
Yeah.
I don't know. She was just, that was your first girlfriend.
You have enough daughters, though.
Yeah, I have a lot of daughters.
Yeah, you have real daughters.
And they're awesome.
Yeah.
But she was like a little bit more troubled and moody, I was kind of drawn to that because my kids are pretty
well-adjusted
and cheerful.
Yeah.
You
wanted an angsty teen.
I kind of did. It's weird.
You sat her down and asked her to yell at you.
My mom's just great at bonding with anybody. So like I think everybody's significant others have always liked you. And I think it's kind of tough when you break up with somebody to be like, you're not only losing that person, but you're losing access to like
the family.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the times, at least in my relationships, one of the harder parts of breaking up with somebody is that I've generally liked their friends and family a lot too.
Yeah, and you never actually break up with the family. You just break up with the person, and then you never say goodbye to the parents.
You don't get
you don't get that closure. It's just like,
it's almost like dying, because you literally will not, you just won't ever see or talk to that person again without any warning.
Right. Unless you're my mom, then in which case you will go out to several meals and sometimes a vacation.
Email them and say happy birthday on Facebook. And it just goes on and on and on.
You're still in contact with more than one of my exes, would you say?
Yes, I am.
All right.
I am. I definitely am.
What do you mean contact? Like email?
Occasionally I have said something, I've emailed them and like follow them on Instagram usually and like stuff.
I wish you'd stop doing that.
It also must be weird for that ex-girlfriend's new boyfriend where it's like, wait, why is your ex-boyfriend's mom liking stuff and why are you going to dinner with her?
I didn't think of it that way because it's true. I mean, I have the same last name as Jake. Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, maybe I gotta stop.
Maybe I should change my last name.
Or at least my Instagram handle.
So how can you tell, what if one of these ladies actually had to break up with you and say like, listen, I can't?
That would be like kind of painful for me, I have to say, but I also would understand it.
You've also never been broken up with.
Not to my knowledge. I feel like maybe they could have like stopped like sending me emails or something. That actually might have happened, and that's okay.
You got dumped by one of the girls that I dumped.
But I think for this mom, I mean, she probably really got invested in, and it probably, you know, makes
her
feel.
Maybe she doesn't have a daughter. Maybe she only has a son. She was really excited to have a daughter, even if she wasn't a Mormon. Here's how this girl should play this, though. She doesn't have to break up with the mom. She just tells the son to break up with the mom. It's like, it's great. This kid can break up with the mom for you.
Oh, so like you have to say, will you talk to your mom about
it? It's like
this?
In eighth grade when you would break up with people through your friends. Like, Jake doesn't want to go out with you anymore. Bye.
Like, I did that last year. Yeah. I hired an eighth grader.
To break up with me.
That's
like the level of cowardice that's okay in this situation, because like you shouldn't really be hanging out in the first place, and it's not your place to break this lady's heart. You can just say, hey, your mom's contacting me a lot. I think we like need to stop talking to each other so much, but I feel too bad. Can you let her know?
Yeah.
And then he can be as gentle as he needs to be with
the liaison.
Mom. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a really good idea, actually. And I think he probably could say it. And she could probably say it to the ex-boyfriend, you know, really nicely, too.
Yeah, way more candidly.
Yeah.
And then she calls the girl and be like, wow, you didn't even have the balls to break up with me in my face, did you?
Just dumping out clothes on her front lawn.
Grabbing her by the ball sack.
I think that's a good solution, though. That really is.
Yeah. It's one of those we all agree on.
Yeah.
It's almost like I thought of it. That's how much I agree with it.
Well, I'll take it, because there is a record of me thinking of it.
Well, I actually, my heart like hurts right now, though, for the mom, I have to say. But I think it's the best solution. I'm just saying. I think it's because I'm over-identifying.
Yeah,
but that's
a
really good
solution. Will find a new, that guy will find a new girl. And
hopefully a Mormon.
Yeah. Or you know, either way. But he'll find a new girl.
A sister wife.
And that mom will be ready to love, because she will have gone through the heartbreak and the loss and the acceptance that she doesn't have that girl in her life anymore.
That's
and then
right.
she'll be ready.
That's a funny romantic song to write, is like a mom looking at a picture of a 17-year-old girl being like, where is she? I can't believe she's gone.
It's so true.
My little son's girl. But that's
have there,
for another
well, actually,
day.
I'll just talk to you about this after the podcast, Mom.
Yeah.
Let's save it for the commercial
break. Hold that thought. We'll talk.
All right. Let's get to another question. This one is also... Oh, wait. No, that's the same question. Oh, no. This one's also from a lady.
Whoa.
A lady. Another lady. Okay. All right. I'll go with another Oscar nominee.
Okay.
I'm going to mangle her name. Saoirse?
Saoirse Ronan?
Saoirse. Saoirse Ronan.
She's nominated for an Oscar?
Didn't she?
Yeah.
Wow. I do believe so for Brooklyn.
That's
yes.
cool.
Yeah.
Saoirse Ronan, right.
Yeah.
Hey guys, huge fan of the show. Should I read this parenthetical? It says I'd like to F Jake.
Oh, all right. So you already read it.
I'd like to F Jake. Unrelated. Here's my predicament.
That's what's up.
I'm a college senior and I've recently started fucking a new guy. Things were going great until there were a few red flags.
We started said F Jake and then you said fucking
yeah,
a new guy.
Now that the floodgates are open, we can just go for it. Cool. I've recently started fucking a new guy. Things were going great until there were a few red flags. We started talking about our families and it came out that not only is his mom gay, but his sister is also gay. At first, I thought nothing of it. But then he told me that his new favorite show is The New Girl and that his favorite movie is The Sound of Music. The way he dressed kind of gives me pause. Think corduroy pants and striped socks. Also, one time during a sexual encounter, he called me Matthew. Am I fucking a gay guy? Should I be concerned? Always yours, Saoirse Ronan.
Wow, that was loaded with a lot of interesting information.
Yeah, this girl is blunt. She tells it like it is.
She really does. I think there's a bunch of stuff she doesn't need to worry about. Like, I honestly don't think the thing about the mom being gay and the sister being gay, I mean,
it's not genetic. So,
it doesn't like, run what? In the family.
Yeah.
I'm... Right? I don't know anything about being gay.
I like saying like stuff very like empirical. Like, it doesn't run in the family, right?
Right? Yeah. Right?
Am I correct?
Well, you can't have two gay twins. Right?
Correct?
I do
have... Actually, only twins are, like, if there is a twin and one's gay, they're always both gay, right?
Yeah, right? And only twins are gay and nobody else is gay, right?
Right?
And if
right?
you're gay and you're not a twin, then you had a twin and you ate him in the womb, right?
And
right?
corduroy pants are very gay, right?
Striped pant socks. First of all, some of this stuff is me. Like, I like The New Girl and I wear striped socks.
Yeah, and I'm sure you've worn corduroy pants at...
Well, to be fair, he also is fucking this guy named Matthew.
Yeah, Matthew. I was going to say, me and Matthew both watch The New Girl.
You
together.
Are this girl's fuck buddy. That's why she wants to fuck me.
Oh, it finally makes sense.
Ah.
So of all her
concerns,
let's rank them on to like most to least gay. So striped socks is pretty low.
Pretty
low. I think
low.
That's the most gay thing of all.
Really?
Well, what color are they?
More so than, well, corduroy pants, I guess, is pretty not gay. Yeah, I don't know the correlation between corduroy pants and gay.
I don't even, yeah, I've never associated corduroys with homosexuality.
Well, actually makes sense because it's ribbed and then you're like, oh, this is like a cock. I like having cocks on my legs.
Amir.
I hadn't thought about that.
Oh my God.
Amir, good point.
I'm going to write that down.
Sound of Music's pretty, that's dope. I like that movie.
I mean, yeah.
That movie.
Yeah. It's got some good music in it.
That one is the most stereotypically gay because it's like
is. A The New Girl, musical.
But if we're talking about stereotypically gay, he was raised in a house with two gay women. So that movie might have been playing, long as we're talking about gay stereotypes. And then it's like sort of, you're nostalgic for it.
Actually, though, I don't mean to have a lesbian stereotype. I think The Sound of Music is more gay man stereotype, and he would maybe be around Melissa Etheridge and the Indigo
Come
Girls.
Yeah. To my window, dance by the light.
Yeah, I think my tastes are more of gay women because I like those songs, and then also I like vaginas.
You're a total lesbo.
You think so?
Because you love Sarah McLachlan,
of course,
and tatas
and tattoo. Remember that band?
Tattoo. Tattoo.
The one interesting thing is that he called her Matthew.
Matthew, that is the troubling
right,
thing
that's the gayest
in my
of all.
Book. Yeah, that's.
But her name might rhyme with Matthew or sound like Matthew.
That's true, because it's not really Saoirse.
Right, exactly.
I don't know. That did she, like, I mean, the thing that's curious to me is if someone did that to me, I'd immediately call him on it. Like, yeah. Hey, you just called me Matthew. What's up with that?
Yeah, why did you do that? And then he'll be like, because Matthew McConaughey's hot, and I like to pretend like I'm fucking him.
Mm, yeah, and that would be kind of a like dead that. Giveaway.
Another clue.
Yeah,
plus another the clue. Socks.
More leading.
Is it a big concern among a lot of people that, like, the guy that they're fucking is gay? Like, if he's fucking you...
Yeah, isn't that good enough?
That's pretty straight to me.
At the very least, he's bi. Yeah, what does it matter if he's gay if he's having sex with you? You're worried that he's a closet homosexual that'll come out and break up with you one day, perhaps?
I guess maybe.
But some people are metrosexual, which is like ambiguously...
That's right. And I really do, and I don't mean to sound preachy, I think sexuality is kind of a continuum. Like, you're somewhere on this sliding scale, and you're... Sometimes you're a little closer Amen. To being, gay or bi than other people. I really do think that it's not like an either or. I think you can be somewhere in the middle, very comfortable.
Or you could also be on either end of the spectrum. You could be very gay or like me, very, very straight. I actually love pussy. I actually only wear blue jeans and I only wear solid socks.
Okay. What are your thoughts on the new girl?
Yeah.
I think it's pretty good.
Oh my God.
I also love the sound of music. I am 16 going on 17. You are 17 going on.
Of all the songs to sing from that, that's like probably the most.
That's the gayest one.
Obscure and gay.
It's a duet between a man and a woman.
Yeah, but you're singing the woman part still.
That's right.
You are 16 going on 17.
How about climb every mountain?
I don't know that one.
Oh, God.
So in conclusion, he may or may not be gay.
Yeah.
If he's boning you, I would say he's at the very least in the middle.
Yeah.
He's not completely gay.
Yeah.
I like to say, like, in conclusion, none of the evidence you've provided us with makes us think he's gay,
except
maybe calling you Matthew, in which it gives me only the tiniest bit of pause. So I think you're good.
Yeah, and you'd also want to, well, I don't mean to get gross, but like what position, were, you know what I'm saying. You
always
know what I'm
always
about.
Anal.
Always anal.
Fucking him.
Always anal her, yeah, boning him with a banana. Sorry, I should have read that PS. Okay, let's take a break. We'll thank one more sponsor, and then we'll be back with more questions and answers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you to Babbel for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Gracias.
Very Babbel. Good. I don't know if you know this, Jake, but I'm already bilingual.
Really?
Yep. I grew up in a Hebrew-speaking household.
Ken.
Lamadti Ivrit b'bayit. That means I learned Hebrew at home. The best way to learn a language is through immersion.
Yes.
But if your parents aren't actually from a different country and constantly speaking to you in that language, how do you immerse yourself?
You're not going
to
get immersed, folks.
The best way to do so is by using Babbel.
Babbel.
It's a science-backed language learning app that actually works.
Ooh.
You don't have to pay hundreds of dollars for tutoring, okay?
Yeah.
You can just spend 10-minute lessons that are handcrafted by 200 language experts that help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks.
Incredible.
I need this because, you know, I already got the Hebrew. I want to go French. I want to go Spanish.
You should go full French. Let's go full French on your rap.
Let's French. Let's French. Let's French. bonjour indeed.
Oui.
How about a special limited time offer for our listeners? Right now, you can get 55% off your Babbel subscription.
Whoa.
But you got to go to babbel.com/segments. That's 55% off babbel.com/segments, spelled BABBEL.com/segments.
Segments, and segments is spelled SHAN.
You are illiterate
L-N.
In English.
Yeah.
So I say throw English away. That's
Whatever.
Not going to happen for you.
I'll go full French.
Go to Italian.
I'll go Italian.
Go to German.
Yes, I will
and
go
I'll
to German.
And I'll meet you there.
Yes, guten Tag.
Thank you. Rules and restrictions may apply indeed. But again, you can get 55% off at Babbel, BABBEL.com/segments.
Love it.
Ciao.
Adios.
Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show. We love Squarespace.
That's correct.
I use Squarespace over and over again, all the time. It is my go-to.
Yeah, you've built multiple websites.
Yes, yes.
It's kind of insane. You're like almost a Squarespace entrepreneur at this point. You must have made, what, 3, 5, 50 websites?
I am a mogul. Yeah, I am a scion of Squarespace.
So you know how easy it is to design, mm-hmm. and you don't need to know much programming, if any, at all, to create a professional-looking online store, portfolio, blog, vlog. Hell, you'll even create a slog.
I have created a slog, and it is a slog.
Yeah, yeah. That's a secret vlog.
Right.
You can even purchase domain names through Squarespace. Jake, what did you find that people can buy right now?
Fly a bike. You've heard of fly a kite. Well, how about you fly a bike? That's where you tie a string to a bike and run with it and see if it will fly. And if it does, you'll post it on this website, flyabike.com. Thanks, Sharks.
That's pretty good, actually. Yeah. Mine is bikeafly.com, which is also available.
Really?
Yep.
You can bike a fly? That's good.
Yeah, you put a little flea on like a bike. Like, oh my God, look at this tiny little circus.
Yeah. All right. Cool. That's really smart.
So if you want to buy those domain names, or maybe somebody in your life is turning 50 and you want to buy them a website to show you how much you appreciate them, you can buy their fullname.com if it's available. You can do it all.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. And you can also do email campaigns. You can sell content. They got award-winning customer service. They even got a new AI tool called Squarespace AI to update written content on any website, product description, or email. So it can generate instant personalized results for your brand, which is kind of cool.
Very cool.
So to get access to all these cool features and more, just head to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain by using that code segments.
Baller.
Yeah, that's squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase. And then when you're ready to launch, you'll just use that code segments.
Segments.
Thank you, Squarespace.
And we're back.
Woo!
We were just on your podcast.
Yeah, and you guys were awesome.
You
were so good. Yeah.
Who was better?
I would say, and Jake, you know how much I love you.
I love you too.
I adore you. You guys were equal. I loved you both
that
equally.
That breaks Jake's heart.
The biggest slap on the face.
You guys are equal. Just crushed you.
I am so sorry. I honestly, you guys, though.
I'm floored, mama.
You know what, though? I have to say, what was interesting to me was the information you guys gave me about your teenage selves.
Well, talk about just your podcast in general and then the story that was specific.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's a short story podcast, and it's a little, I mean, I love it. I tell a story every week, and
it's called
a different
The Easy
story,
Chair.
The Easy Chair, and I tell a different story week to week. And it is challenging to come up with original content every week. So I cheat a little by having guests. And in this case, I wrote a story with information that you guys gave me.
About our high school selves.
Yeah, about your high school selves. And it was fun, like your favorite expressions, your styles,
yeah,
your passions, your bands. Yeah, what you thought you were going to do when you grew up. And
my hair products.
Your hair products. That was interesting to me. So...
Yeah,
it
whatever happened to mousse? You never see that anymore. Do people still use mousse?
I think people do, but
it's around.
Yeah, people it's around. Use mousse. It is.
People use it.
Oh, really?
I mean, like when you see people with their hair just like straight up and like very
like porcupine.
Isn't that gel
hair?
Did you ever use mousse?
Yeah, I used a shit ton of mousse.
He did.
My 8th or 9th grade yearbook photo legitimately has like a stain of mousse on my, because I have
true.
A cowlick that makes my hair natural part like kind of over my right eye.
Right.
But I wanted my hair to be
down
parted
the
down the middle, yeah, like everybody else had. And I could not get this like part half my head to go over one to that side. So I would just mat it down with so much mousse.
It's true.
Oh, God.
That you couldn't even touch. Like, it felt like it just
crispy.
Yeah,
it was
it felt like
chicken
a fish
bones.
Stick on the side of my head.
Yeah.
It was so hard. And like then it would, and during the day, it would like drip down my
ear. Oh, God.
And it was such an unattractive style.
Yeah, like looking back on it, it's like, oh my God. But is that the reaction you had in the day?
Yeah, I thought it was ridiculous.
It's disgusting.
Because he had this blonde, like really beautiful corn silk hair, and he just like hardened it into this mass, and he parted it down the middle, and then he had that like bowl thing going on in the back. I guess it's a skater cut. Is that what that was called?
It was a skater cut. Did you ever skate though? I would bring my skateboard out onto the back porch and practice my ollie.
He could do an ollie, but nothing else. He couldn't be in motion. It had to be like a static ollie.
I couldn't really skate up and down the street.
Yeah.
I could sit on it and sort of let gravity drift me towards one corner or another.
This is the most embarrassing thing about my style is like skateboarders had like, you could tell who was a skateboarder because like one side of their shoe would be really scuffed up.
Oh yeah.
Which, like, covered in holes from doing ollies. And I didn't skate enough to get like a really good hole. So I used to like, I used to rub my shoe on the side of the house. To like get it appropriately scuffed.
I didn't.
Is there anything more mortifying than like a cool kid seeing you do that?
Oh, what are you doing?
Like on my way to school, sometimes I just like drag my left foot on the sidewalk and like. Oh. Yeah. If someone had found me out, it would have been very, very embarrassing.
You'd have been a fraud, a phony.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I really did not know that.
So much effort to fake it that like you could have just practiced skateboarding.
Right. If I had practiced skateboarding, if I had spent as much time just like standing on the skateboard as I spent in the garage with sandpaper whittling down my shoe.
You'd be a pro.
I could be Tony Hawk right now.
Whittling my shoe. Next up on the X Games, we're going to be whittling our shoes. Whoa, look at him go. He whittled his shoes so quickly.
Tony Hawk perfecting the 1080.
So our episode is already up of the Easy Chair.
Yeah, it's up this week.
And you can find it by Googling the Easy Chair, going to headgum.com.
Yeah.
Or by searching Laura Hurwitz on iTunes.
Yeah, Laura Hurwitz.
I don't know how to find your podcast. If you just go to headgum.com.
Go to Headgum because they're the best.
Yeah.
The best podcast network going.
That's right.
Yeah.
Your son started a podcast network. How does that make you feel?
I could not be prouder.
What does your other son do? Jack shit?
I'm sure he's going to finish his senior year very well.
He actually is going to graduate
college. Sorry. I didn't mean to throw it in. That sounded really mean. Cool.
I actually built a podcast. I actually do pretty well without college. And you're welcome. I saved you and dad $100,000 worth of debt.
So sorry about that.
Sorry about that. Can I actually just get however much money you guys spent to get Micah through college, can I just have that in a check? Let's talk to dad about that one. Up. The only Hurwitz that saved any money on college, and I'm also the only Hurwitz that's doing anything worth a damn.
Doesn't your older sister do a lot of work, volunteer work?
Non-profit. As in, she doesn't make a goddamn profit. Meanwhile, I'm making, trust me, more than just chump change on all the podcasts that are under my umbrella.
Jake, let
me tell you a little something about my umbrella. It's raining outside. It's not just raining, it's pouring. and the sound, the rain doesn't make a drip, drip, drip
what
sound.
Does it
makes
make?
A ka-ching, 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 ka-ching.
So why are you holding an umbrella if it's raining money?
Because I don't want it to hit my head.
How are you going to get the money, though?
I collect it in the street.
What do you do?
It cascades off the umbrella into a funnel that takes it to a bank.
A funnel?
I've made a Rube Goldberg contract. It's not important. It's not literal, ass.
So you're standing on the funnel?
Rachel does a really great job of... She's a Spanish to English translator for victims of domestic abuse whose first language isn't English.
Right. So
not a lot of cash in that though.
She explains what a restraining
ka-ching. We have where the Rosenberg twins invent shit.
You know, Jake, honestly, I do talk about you as a sort of reverse cautionary tale. Because, like, everything that your parents usually tell you not to do, you did, and it got you where you are. So
it, which is where?
You're in a real good position.
Up Schitt's Creek without a paddle. Congratulations.
With an umbrella. Because
the water's getting
down.
Warm. Yeah, I remember the days of just waiting in the computer room to hide my report card until the...
Oh, yeah.
It was like everybody knew it was coming. And we just, it was a race to the mailbox. See if I could hide it before they found it.
Now it's all online.
Yeah.
There's no hiding. There's emails.
There's no hiding. The truth is just out there.
That's interesting. It is. Oh, that's too bad.
Did you know that we're going to Austin for South by Southwest?
Yeah, I heard that.
HeadGum is doing 3 shows.
That is unbelievable. That is so cool.
It's our first podcast festival of sorts.
Like, are you on a big stage with, like, people?
It's a very big
you?
Stage.
Well, it's just
over 300 seats.
The stage itself is...
That's true.
Super impressive.
Did any of the other kids ever do a HeadGum festival?
No, of course not.
No. Did they
ever do a podcast with Amir? I have to be very specific, otherwise they'll find something that's good that they do.
Some other shit that they did that's nice. So if you're in Austin, if you're listening and you're in Texas, or if you're far away and you're thinking, you know, it would be a fun little road trip is if I go with my boys, my buddies, my girls, my pals, and we go to Austin for the weekend. Austin's a very fun city.
Yeah. It could happen. When is South by Southwest?
That's a great, great question. Our shows are on Thursday, March 10th, and then we have 2 shows on Friday, March 11th. And we're not only going to be there, but our friends are going to be there. All of your favorite other HeadGum podcasters are going to be there, like the Rosenberg twins, like Josh Rubin, like Black Man Can't Jump. And
this
and
is why you're
she,
single.
She
Kevin
didn't text
Porter
back.
From the Gilmore Girls.
John Gabers from High and Mighty. They're all going to be there. It's going to be a party every night. And if you want to meet all of us and hang out and have fun and watch these shows, the tickets are available at ifireyoushow.com.
Boom.
I'm signing up. I'm bringing all my lady friends. We're going on the road. It'll be like the Golden Girls.
Yeah. Why don't you bring that friend that has a crush on me?
I will.
Who?
Don't
Anita
think I
or Claudia?
Claudia.
You have 2 friends that have a crush on me?
No, she has 2 friends, but one of them's hot.
One of them has a crush on you. I have one friend with
They're
a crush on
They're both beautiful.
You, and they are. They're beautiful.
Beautiful, beautiful women.
Yeah. Mrs. Robinson's.
Very both nice. Both of them. I did go to Berkeley, which is where The Graduate takes place.
One of my favorite movies of all time.
Yeah, so everyone's talking about how they went to college.
Oh, come on, man.
Whatever.
I actually took the SATs twice. Did you take them twice?
I did, yeah. I did.
And I think you... they used to let you combine scores. They do let you combine scores, right?
Right?
You can take your highest...
But I think what happened was like I took... I don't know exactly how it happened, but I took the SATs once. Then we paid for... me to take an SAT prep course.
Yeah.
And then I took them again and I got the exact same score. And my dad was so pissed. I was like, what did I get? He's like, the exact same fucking score.
Really? I can't imagine your dad losing your cool.
Oh,
losing
yeah.
His cool. He's so chill now.
Yeah.
When we were growing up, he screamed. Just like
he did.
Always screaming.
Raised
terrifying.
His voice.
Yeah.
How did he mellow down? Did his
honestly
kids just grow up?
I think he had so much stuff happen to him. The floor kept falling out from underneath him, and he just kind of gave up.
He's like, I'm just zen.
This is it. This is just it. I'm not going to get excited about anything. And that's kind of where he is.
Or mad about anything.
After I left home, there wasn't really anything for him to get mad about. Because the triplets were so good. They were so well behaved.
Yeah, and Micah's generally... He's well-behaved, yeah.
Yeah, it was just like me and Hannah were the bad kids.
Yeah, and Hannah went to boarding school, so, you know, it kind of all fell on you.
The first two. So it's a good thing you kept going.
Yeah.
If at first you don't succeed.
Yeah, just
I'm a success story.
Pumping them out.
Trust me, I'm a rags to riches.
Rags?
My father dressed me in rags as a boy.
It was a weird day. I went to school in rags. Do you have time to answer one last question?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yes. I would love to.
This one's from another mother. Mother from another
man.
Mother.
Man, I got to come up with someone else who's nominated for something.
You know they're required to nominate 5 women. It's just like it's not like they didn't get as many. It's the...
Two of them were guys in drag.
I wouldn't be surprised with this academy.
Yeah.
Well, okay. I'm going to go with Charlotte Rampling. I do believe she's nominated.
The impressive thing is that you know everybody's name. That's...
Yeah, I pay attention to that stuff. Don't know why, but I do.
Adamama.
Charlotte Rampling writes, "My daughter is a senior in high school, and I know all moms like to brag about their babies, but she is incredibly bright. 2080 on her SATs and a 4.9 weighted GPA. She's also hilarious and confident and does very well in social situations. She's in the midst of applying to colleges, and her whole family has been very encouraging in this process. Here's my problem. She has only been considering state schools in our area. Firstly, I support her decision, but I cannot understand why she wouldn't apply to a higher tier school. We met with an advisor who assured us she was a strong candidate for Ivy League universities. I think she's a little obsessed with finances. Her father and I are divorced, and I am ashamed to say that she has been caught in the middle of money-related arguments. She is incredibly financially independent, but it's no mystery that we're lower middle class, to put it optimistically. If she received a lot of financial aid, she would still need to take out loans for the rest of her tuition. However, I don't want her thinking about this when looking to her future. She's applied to 4 schools, all of which are very inexpensive, but in my opinion, don't provide the quality education that she deserves. There's more. The other day, I used her laptop and saw Cornell's website in her most recent internet history. She's been highly communicative to me about college, telling me a plethora of details about the most trivial of college matters, and she has not mentioned this at all. My first question is, how do I get her to understand that money is not the deciding factor for everything? Furthermore, is it my place to tell her I think her schools are of choice are poor choices? Neither her father nor I were very successful in our college years, and I would love to see her make the most out of this time while she is in her prime. Thank you so much for taking the time to advise me, and I appreciate everything you gentlemen do to brighten my day. Thanks again, Charlotte."
Whoa. Wow, Charlotte.
Charlotte. Actually, I can speak with some authority here because I was a college admissions officer
before
I was a teacher.
Can you imagine me and Jake were just going to try to answer this question?
She was a college admissions officer at Yale, actually.
At Yale
and
University.
She still couldn't get your ass in. She yeah, actually tried to stick your application to the bottom of one that deserved to get in.
Not with a 2080. You better believe there's enough just from China alone, 20 perfect 2400s to admit.
That is actually
not just one, but
true.
Two classes to Yale.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
so if you have a 2080, I'm sorry, you're looking at Southern Connecticut State.
And that GPA that starts with a 4, that's not going to get you into Yale either. I'm sorry, sweetheart. 4.9, 4. Bye.
That is actually maybe for a state school. Sorry, go ahead, well, mom. You
yeah,
are
no, I mean, one thing that's kind of interesting is that, like, Ivy League schools like Yale, their needs-blind admission policy would make it so if you didn't have a high income, you could pay very little to go to school there. We have a family member who I think paid, like, $5,000 a year.
Wow.
Just based on income. So
instead
it's all,
like,
you know, based on, a lot of times a state school that doesn't have that policy is going to be more expensive.
What's tuition at Yale for standard?
I have to say I'm not exactly sure what it's going to be this year, but around $50,000.
Oh my God, that's so much money.
Yeah.
For the whole time or just for...
like even if you don't go to class?
But amazingly, like... NYU is more expensive.
More than 50?
Sarah Lawrence
College
is more expensive.
Is a fucking scam,
it's
dude.
A lot.
It's a business. You better believe it's the same fucking thing as Starbucks.
Right? No, because you go to Starbucks.
I love Starbucks.
You would never go to school that often. Real quick, how many people decide who gets into Yale? You worked on that team, right?
I was on the... Yeah, admissions committee, there were 12 of us sitting around the table.
And you guys were the ultimate arbiters of who gets into Yale University and who
there
doesn't?
There were a lot of like checks and balances because you had outside readers and then you had readers on the committee. And every admissions person had a territory that you're in charge of.
So you couldn't get one of your children in if you really, really wanted to?
Nah, it doesn't work that... Nope,
even if you like bribed or like... Is there like some seedy...
People,
like...
People tried to do that.
Where it's like, hey, will you let this person in? It's not really blind.
I had people offer me stuff.
Right.
I once got a letter with jewels in it from India.
Jewel CDs?
Actual like loose jewels.
Oh my God.
I got a letter.
She got a letter from Jewel once.
Oh my God.
No, I got a letter of support from Mother Teresa.
Wow.
For an Indian student.
Did that person get in?
No.
Didn't have a high enough GPA, unfortunately.
I felt really bad about that.
Is
one,
the first
though.
Filter like, SAT score and GPA?
I mean, there's like a bench. I think people with certain GPAs and SATs just wouldn't even bother applying. I think people kind of self-select.
Yeah.
But another thing that I just remembered is I had a kid apply who was actually completely in the running to get into Yale. She was from California. And with her application, she put in a handwritten note, and it said, "Please do not accept me. My mother really wants me to go, but I don't want to be so far away from home."
Wow.
And it was just such a move. Like,
you threw it away and said,
she's in.
Yeah, like, she's in.
I was going to accept you anyway.
But it really, like, broke my heart.
What did you do?
I wasn't the person in charge of the territory. That person got in touch with the girl's, like, you know, guidance counselor, college counselor. And I think she ultimately didn't come to Yale. And I believe that I don't know whether we rejected her or how we handled that. She didn't even come up to committee.
Is it a secret process exactly how somebody gets into Yale or not?
Yeah, it's a little bit. Like, there's a certain, like, subjectivity weirdness to it. And like, you look at the constellation of school groups and you map things out. And like, if you need someone to play the French horn in the marching band, you might go with that person rather than someone
there's
who's
like tiebreakers
equally,
that people wouldn't even think
about. Like weird ones, weird tiebreakers.
Wow,
yeah.
French horn.
Yeah, yeah, that was one I actually remember that there was.
Right,
the kid
I remember
the
look.
Horn.
I used to look at some of these applications, especially when I was in high school.
Yeah,
because every once in a while they would like. Even though she wasn't on the committee, or maybe you were, but
I was outside reading.
She'd get folders and like read them. So I would sometimes read the essays and I like to get ready for college. And like, it was just every single app, like, you didn't stand out if you had a perfect SAT and if you were class president.
That's like,
that was
beginning.
Like, yeah,
yeah,
that's
it was
base
a given.
Level.
Yeah,
given. That's like what it took to be able to apply. And then after that, then you have to play the French horn.
So 2400, 5.0 GPA is like, all right, let's read this application.
Yeah, yeah, that's kind of how it is.
And then 50% of those people just don't get in.
Yeah, I mean, there's a rating. There's one is admit, two is admit with reservations, and that's when you discuss things at committee. Three is reject with reservation, and you generally don't discuss those folks. And four is just like, put it in the corner.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's a brutal process.
And how many of the applications that you would review, how many would get ones, twos, threes, and four?
I probably in an entire admission season gave two ones.
But those ones are not even reviewed by other people. They're like, all right, this guaranteed.
It's like,
in.
Yeah, the if it's your if it's your territory,
ticket.
It's like, okay, well, that person.
So you
in.
Could you could just almost like personally be like, I well, have autonomy to give a one.
Well, you sit at the, you still have the committee, it still meets, and a computer, you have a computer in front of you, and the score goes up, and if you see it's a one, there's just not so much discussion. It's like, oh, you must really want this kid.
Yeah.
And then you kind of defend it a little bit, but usually it's like, yeah, I mean, if you gave him a one, kid's got to be, I mean, usually it's the person who won the Westinghouse Science Prize, and
like national.
You know, was an entrepreneur for, yeah, and they're going to get into Harvard, they're going to get into Yale, they're going to get into Princeton, Stanford. They're going to get in everywhere. So, yeah, that's a rarity. A lot of people are twos. And then we used to do these things where we'd have two pluses or straight twos or two minuses. So,
jeez.
Yeah.
I would have been rejected with reservation, though.
You know, I bet you anything you would have been right in the running, Amir. I really think you would have been.
And well, I got rejected from Stanford, and I think they're a little more lax than Yale.
Stanford's really, I think Stanford's super hard to get into.
Yeah, you're right.
I think
right.
It's
I
right up there.
Yale.
Yeah.
What does this girl do?
Oh, yeah. This mother.
This mother's just like listening to the podcast, so afraid we're not going to answer the question.
And,
all right, that first theme song was from, no.
I think that the mother, it's fine for the mother to give the daughter her opinion that she wishes she would apply to these other school, to Ivy League schools. But
yeah, the daughter's probably waiting for it in some senses. I bet she like does it. She's afraid to. It sounds like she's doing all this stuff in secret because she doesn't want to stress her mom out. But
right, I agree. But then there's the whole thing about how a lot of schools have needs blind admissions, and you've got like financial aid based on your need. So that it, the that part of it, the financial part of it, is sort of like not even an issue. If the girl doesn't want to go away from home, I mean, that might be something else she might want to consider.
Right. And some state schools have really great honors programs and stuff.
They do.
And they're cheap and they're great and they're good. And, and that's fine by me.
It is.
You don't need to go to an Ivy League school.
That's true. There's, I mean, the prestige or whatever, that's, I think, less important than having a really, really good
experience in college.
Yeah, college experience. And
there was also, or some people make the case where it's better to be the smartest kid at a school rather than be the dumbest kid at an Ivy League. I think I read that in Freakonomics or something.
Yeah.
That makes sense to me. I think this lady just needs to have like a really candid discussion with her daughter, because it sounds almost like they can't have an honest conversation about college because they're avoiding the issue of money and where the daughter might really want to go to school. So at the very least, they got to just like put all the cards on the table to decide where the best place for her to go to school is.
I completely agree. Yeah. So I think that's really good advice. Just have a candid conversation.
Do you think I'm smart?
I do think you're smart. I really do. You are very smart.
Why don't I ever apply myself to shit, Mom? Like, why didn't it show?
I wish I was better with numbers and shit.
Why was I afraid of? Why was I busy scuffing my shoe instead of learning shit?
Now I'm not lazy, but I don't have the necessary foundation to take anything to the next level.
I wish you'd instilled in me a confidence that being a good student is just as cool as being a good skater.
Work ethic is important, and it needs to start young.
Thanks for coming on our show.
This was the most fun.
I agree.
Honestly the most fun. You guys are wonderful, hilarious. I just love hanging out with you.
You're wonderful and hilarious. And you want to plug anything aside from your podcast? The Easy Chair on HeadGum.com?
Yeah, The Easy Chair on... you know what? I wrote a novel, and it's called Disappear Home. And it was released last year, but it's out in paperback this year.
Wow.
And it's about hippies in the 1970s. It's about a depraved commune. Always a fun topic.
Yes, and I read it, and I loved it, and I cried on a plane.
Oh, man. That's
unrelated.
So sweet.
I was watching Someone a beautiful movie.
I was watching The Box Trolls, a moving film.
But yeah, I'll plug that. And I'm also writing another novel, but I can't plug it because I don't know what it's going to be called yet. I have my name for it, but
prolific.
I think it's going to get retooled.
Cool. What's your name? Just because I'm curious.
Oh, I'm calling it The Skinny. Ooh. Like as the, you know, the truth, but it's also about someone with an eating disorder. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Heavy stuff.
Yeah, it was
or
a little
not
bit.
So heavy
it's
stuff.
A little bit.
Sorry. It's The Skinny.
Yuck,
that was
bad.
We should also plug our new shows on HeadGum. We have 5 new shows on HeadGum this week.
Oh, wow.
So if you're done with this podcast and you're like, you know what? I could listen to some more podcasts. Can we interest you in Let's Talk About Me, Baby, a new podcast with host UTK. Jake and I are in the pilot episode of his. It's a conversation. It's a podcast where people, his friends, come on the show and talk about him. Because so often the guests talk about themselves.
Yeah. And what's the point of having your own podcast if you're not going to talk about yourself?
Exactly.
Spent a lot of today talking about me, and I liked it.
another podcast we have is called We Watch Wrestling. 3 very funny guys talk about wrestling. If you're a wrestling fan, you will love this podcast. Told to me that it was the best wrestling podcast by several wrestling fan friends of mine.
Are there any other wrestling podcasts out there?
There are many.
It doesn't matter if there are any other wrestling podcasts.
The Rock.
Yeah, dude.
So if you guys are wrestling fans, must listen to We Watch Wrestling if you're a wrestling fan. Coffee with Krachel, another podcast of ours, is hosted by 2 very funny individuals, Chris and Rachel.
Oh, I was wondering
Seattle.
Where Krachel got from. Mm-hmm.
That's
clever.
Right.
Like it.
Cloverfields, which is Mike and Steve, also from SourceFed, who have an entire podcast dedicated to Cloverfield, the movie, because there's a whole ethos and world surrounding it and a sequel coming out. And if you find yourself wanting to know more about Cloverfield, then we highly recommend Cloverfields. another podcast on the HeadGum Network. And lastly, Esports Experts, which is an esports podcast, which is hosted by Kyle Fox.
Mr. Rick Fox's offspring.
Son, yeah, who's also been on our show. And Jennifer Zheng. So if you like esports or wrestling or Cloverfield or Crachel or UTK.
Or coffee. or Crachel.
Check them out. Support our new shows. HeadGum.com. The opening theme song was written by Dead Relatives, a.k.a. Canebreakers. And this closing one was written by Noam Fleischman, who sounds like somebody I was bar mitzvahed with. Noam Fleischman. If you have your own questions, your own theme songs, your own anything, the email address is ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com. Thanks again for coming on our show, Laura.
Oh, Mrs. my God. H.
And
so
thanks for
fun.
Being the best mom in the whole
guys.
Wide world.
I adore you both.
This is a bonus Thursday episode, so we'll be back in
you
a few short days.
Both.
Oh, nice. Come on.
We'll talk.
We'll see you guys on Monday, and we'll see you guys in Austin. Bye, everybody.
All right.
If I were you, I'd listen to these two Jews, and heed exactly what they have to say. If they don't give you good advice, they'll make fun of you anyway.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.